Right now, when the number of children treated for bipolar disorder jumps 40 times over 10 years, people are going to have questions. Mostly, why? Was bipolar underdiagnosed earlier? Is it overdiagnosed now? Do kids diagnosed as bipolar continue to have the same problems as adults? Do medicines used to treat adults with bipolar work in children? Have they been tested on children? And there's plenty more. Dr. Mark Olfson is professor of clinical psychiatry at Columbia University in New York City and senior author of the study published in the Archives of General Psychiatry that reported on the increase. If you have questions for him, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, or you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And Dr. Mark Olfson joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Nice to be here.
So why this sudden increase in bipolar cases in children?
Well, to be sure, the study doesn't tell us exactly why so many more children and adolescents are now being diagnosed and treated with bipolar disorder, but it does give us some clues. First of all, it's important to recognize that there's no evidence of an actual increase in the rate of bipolar disorder. So what we're talking about is an increase in its rate of treatment, and that's a very important distinction. And so why has the treatment gone up? Well, one possibility is that, and one fact actually, is that the criteria that psychiatrists use, or the rules they use to diagnose bipolar, have become more permissive. Mm-hmm. And just applying the criteria as they exist would lead to more, both young people as well as adults, being diagnosed with bipolar. But that's not a big enough reason in and of itself. One of the interesting findings about this study is that about two-thirds of the young people being treated for bipolar disorder are boys or males. And we know that mood disorders, and bipolar is one of the more important mood disorders, occurs predominantly in females. So that tells us that something may not be right here. It's also clear that about a third of these young people are being treated and being diagnosed with ADHD. So one concept that has a fair amount of support is that these are children who in an earlier era would have been diagnosed with ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and they may well have complicating symptoms, trouble controlling their anger and emotional volatility and so forth. So that's certainly a distinct possibility to help explain this increase. It's also true, though, that there has been just a general increase in the use of psychiatric medications in young people over the last decade or so. So we see more young people with depression receiving antidepressants and more young people being diagnosed with ADHD. So it may be part of a broader trend.
Well, as I understand it, it was until fairly recently thought that bipolar disorder only manifested itself in adults, that kids didn't get it.
Well, in fact, there are cases, and there are cases going all the way back. If you go back all the way 100 years or so to Kreplin's original descriptions, you'll see that he reports, and these are adults, that many of them began in childhood. If you ask adults today, though, they'll tell you generally that the problem started when they were in their late teens, about 18 to 20 or so. Mm-hmm. But it generally takes several years, 4 to 6 years, for people from the time they first experience symptoms to the time they actually get treatment.
And these new diagnoses are being made in children 7, 8, 9 years old.
That's right. The average age was about 12, so quite young. And that, again, raises some suspicions that the diagnoses or the criteria aren't being applied as rigorously as they might be.
And is there evidence that those kids diagnosed with bipolar disorder when they were 9 or 10 or 11 or 12, that they continued to have bipolar disorder when they became adults?
Well, that's really, you put your finger on the important issue. And those kinds of studies haven't been done, but I know that they're underway. And they should reveal some very important information. Another area of important inquiry is, do these children who are now being diagnosed with bipolar have the kind of family histories that one would expect? It's been known for a long time that adults with bipolar disorder tend to have relatives who also have the condition, but we don't even know that kind of basic information about the young people who are being diagnosed these days.
And you also talked about the numbers of kids being treated with medicines previously reserved for adults. Are those medicines effective in children? Have they been tested in children?
Well, to be sure, there's quite a bit less testing that's been done. When these data were collected, only one medication, lithium, which has been around for a long time, was approved by the FDA. But even it had very little testing, and it was sort of brought in. It was approved for the treatment of young people with bipolar disorder under sort of a grandfather clause. Only in the last few weeks, literally, has the first of the newer drugs, an antipsychotic, been approved. So I should should tell you that about 90% of these young people are receiving psychiatric medications, and the great majority of them have had very little testing on them, so we don't know much about either about their effectiveness of the medications or their safety.
Mm-hmm. And who is diagnosing these kids? Is it psychiatrists?
Yes, it is. Overwhelmingly so in the study. Roughly 90% of the young people being treated in outpatient settings in the United States for bipolar disorder are being treated by psychiatrists.
Let's get listeners involved in the conversations. Our guest is Mark Olfson, professor of clinical psychiatry at Columbia University in New York and the senior author of a recent study about the treatment and diagnosis of bipolar disorder in younger people, which found a 40-fold increase over the course of 10 years. And that was until the end of 2003, 2004. And as I understand it, people believe there's increases continued since then?
Yes, there is some evidence. It wasn't able to make it into the paper. There's always a lag in the publication time, but there is evidence of a continued increase. And just to put some numbers on that, we're talking about less than 20,000 treatment or visits per year to over 800,000.
All right, let's get a caller on the line. This is Christy. Christy with us from Roseville in California.
Yes, I'm a little bit concerned with the overdiagnosis of bipolar, especially by physicians who do no kind of test whatsoever, do not recommend you to a psychiatrist, but just make a diagnosis in their office. My son and I both suffer from environmental illness, and we went into an infectious disease doctor this year to see if we had any kind of viral or bacterial or fungal component that was not found in previous diagnoses, and the infectious disease doctor within 15 minutes determined that we were both bipolar, and she did not refer us to any psychiatrist. She did not do any tests, and then she furthermore insulted us by turning us into Child Protective Services, saying that we were both bipolar because of our, she thought our blood work and our other cultures were crap, as she put it. And I am very concerned that other doctors are also involved in some kind of abuse and over-diagnosing bipolar.
Obviously, we can't ask Dr. Olson to diagnose your case on the radio, much less in his office in 30 seconds. But the basic question, though, about over-diagnosis, is that, do you think that bears up, Dr. Olson?
Well, I think she's raising an important issue. And again, I won't venture into passing any kind of judgment on what situation she or her children find themselves in. But there are screening tools out there, and there are bipolar assessment scales that would help physicians, and including psychiatrists, kind of focus on what are the main symptoms of bipolar disorder. But the evidence is that these scales aren't being used. And I think one of the lessons from this study is that we need to be doing a better job and a more rigorous job of arriving at these diagnoses. Generally, these are diagnoses particularly in children that cannot be made quickly, that require some effort and require some time, listening to parents, talking with teachers, collecting information from people who've known the child or adolescent over a long period of time. And so it's not the kind of thing that you can make in a single office. It's not the kind of diagnosis you can make in a single office visit.
Mm. Let's go now to, this is Pat. Pat with us from San Antonio.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a developmental pediatrician, and I see a lot of kids on the autism spectrum. And what I've found over the past 5 years or so is some of my adolescents who come in for an assessment have been diagnosed as bipolar because of explosive behaviors, but when you get the complete history and really go back to childhood and see how they've developed over time, either they really were on the autism spectrum, particularly Asperger's, and in a few cases they have comorbid bipolar and Asperger's. And plus we've always known that there's been a lot of bipolar in the family histories of kids, of people with Asperger's. So there definitely seems to be some overlap. And I completely agree that, you know, these are diagnoses you can't make quickly. You have to take a very, very detailed history, spend a lot of time with the child, go through previous reports, and really put some time and effort into it. And then in terms of management, definitely should not be not be managed by a somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience with bipolar in children, which means they should be managed by psychiatry.
Dr. Olson?
Well, I don't have too much to add to the physician's comments. I would agree that this is a condition that's that's very difficult to diagnose. There are a lot of neighboring conditions and that the symptom overlap between different childhood disorders. I just might make the general point that the book that psychiatrists refer back to is something called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, or the DSM, and it isn't developmentally specific, and so it doesn't give us any clues to what to look for specifically in young people if we suspect bipolar disorder, and the kind of basic concepts or pictures that are in clinicians' minds have been built up from adult cases, and they may or may not kind of apply to young people who may have early symptoms of bipolar disorder.
Hmm. Pat, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Olson, who's the senior author of a recent study about the treatment and diagnosis of bipolar disorder in young people. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Marcia on the line. Marcia's calling us from Fair Oaks in California.
Hi. I just wanted to say that my son was diagnosed 2.5 years ago with bipolar, and it took over a year before we finally got him on the right medication. And that was only because he finally went to St. Helena's for Behavioral Health, which is a psychiatric unit near San Francisco, and a team of child psychiatrists evaluated him for almost 2 weeks. And then he was put on the right medication, and when he was released, the combination of the correct drugs with weekly therapy, both for my son, who was 9 at the time, and our family through Turning Point, which does an in-home intensive therapy, he's doing great now. Hmm. But as earlier callers said, when it comes to the drugs, there is no understanding of what's really going to work. It's a hit or miss. And we were very blessed mm-hmm. to get the right drugs.
Congratulations.
Yeah. He's in a great school. He has, you know, he's in special ed in a class where it's a ratio of one teacher to three kids. And it's, you know, we went from living in a war zone with a child who could have killed us every night to having a child who wakes up smiling and laughing. But finding the right doctor for the diagnosis, finding the right drugs, it's very difficult.
Hmm. Dr. Olson, it sounds like certainly in Marcia's case, real problems with real solutions.
Yes, well, I'm pleased to hear that it worked out so well for her. And I think in her story, there's also an important general point that not only can problems arise from being in a hurry and rushing the diagnosis, but they can also arise from rushing the treatment and from changing from one treatment to another. If the decision is made by the parents and the young person and the physician to go ahead and try a medication, my general advice would be to try one thing at a time and to start with a low dose and to wait long enough to have a good idea in mind what kinds of target symptoms you're trying to ameliorate, and wait long enough to see whether or not the drug works before trying something else.
The difficulty with that is that when you're living the horror of a child who fluctuates 30 times a day, from begging you to kill him to raging, it's hard to wait 2 months to see if the Risperdal is going to work or the Depakote or whatever the drug of the month is. And as a parent who had other children having to live in the house with a son who was having problems, I understand what you're saying, but I think that there needs to be more intensive intervention. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to try to get through day by day while you're waiting for those drugs to work to figure out what's really going to do the trick.
Yeah. Well, I would just say certainly every situation, every case is different, and the practice of medicine is as much an art as it is a science.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm talking about is under more optimal circumstances, if you have the time to go about the treatment and the treatment decisions in a methodical manner. My sense is that in the long run that pays off. I'm very pleased, though, that you're able to find a medication or combinations of medications that helped your child.
Well, you know, we've been very blessed. Like I said, we not only found the combination of drugs, which is amazing to me. He's on 4 different drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But getting the intensive therapy through Turning Point, which came into our home, which went with him to school, so that he learned the tools, we learned the tools at home. And then also having him in a special ed program where the ratio is one teacher to three kids.
And we wish you great continued success, Marcia, but we want to turn to give somebody else a chance.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Thank you.
That's all right. It's an email we have from Mike. Bipolar, he writes, has become a catch-all diagnosis and one used as an excuse to prescribe expensive drugs to a generation of kids who don't need them, much less the trauma of being diagnosed insane. We're getting several emails along those lines. I wonder what you think, Dr. Olson.
Well, you know, there certainly is a case. The problem is was illustrated by the last caller. If you try to take these treatments away from parents, you know, their lives sometimes, you know, become the lives not only of their lives but their family lives can resemble a nightmare. So it's a complicated and confusing picture. And certainly there are cases of young people who have been unnecessarily diagnosed and treated. But all of this, and this is the larger point that's sometimes lost, exists within a context of still substantial number of young people in the United States with a variety of serious psychiatric illnesses not receiving treatment. And that's, the far larger and more important issue. At the same time, there are these problems that crop up, and here's a potential one. With evidence suggesting, and again suggesting and not proving, a tendency recently to overdiagnose bipolar disorder in youth.
Mark Olson, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dr. Olson is a professor of clinical psychiatry at New York State Psychiatrics of Columbia University. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.